All right, so Carmen, how long have you been here at Edison Park?
Just about 3 years now.
3 years.
Yeah.
Did you work other parks before that?
No, this is the only one. I'm retired from the military. I was in for almost 21 years doing aircraft maintenance, F-15,
really?
Things like that. So this is really neat to kind of come here and work at a national park. It's a fun job.
Do you have to pull any strings to get in Edison Park?
No. It's just like everybody else. You just go up on USA Jobs, and
really?
As the jobs come available, you just apply for them just like everybody else.
So do you have to know any Edison history in advance or anything?
Well, so I knew a little bit, but it's amazing how much you'll learn as soon as you come here. The books you read, the interaction with the other park rangers that are here, the curators, the archivists, you really start to learn an awful lot. So I was by no means an expert at Mr. Edison, but as you work here and you kind of are ingrained in this and immersed in this, you start to pick up and learn a whole lot about what's going on.
Yeah. Do you get any really strange questions from people who come, or?
A lot of people ask, is the place haunted?
Really?
Between here or the house, so you'll definitely, so you definitely get those stories. So do you hear any voices after all the lights go out and things like that? So that's probably one of the biggest things people ask. A lot of people will ask, like up at the house, that same question, but really odd. You'll get like, so how tall was Mr. Edison? What size shoes did he wear?
Actually, how tall was he?
He was about my height, 5'7", 5'8" is what he was. Wore about a 9.5 shoe.
So that's how they employ people. Anyone who matches Edison's height gets to work at Edison Park.
That's
how you got the job. Do you get sick of Edison at all, or?
No, not at all. And this is really neat to work here, because after I retired from the military, I was working for a company called W.L. Gore, same people that make Gore-Tex.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to follow the story that Mr. Gore was doing, developing Gore-Tex fabric, and what was going on here. The two actually are pretty close to what they did. They both believe in these powers of small teams, small groups working together to try and solve problems. They both believed in entrepreneurship, of working on things, and it's just pretty cool to see these two men who start these two different companies but kind of follow the same line altogether.
Well, I asked a butcher today if he had any moral qualms. I think I'm going to ask the same of you. I mean, Edison was known to steal other people's ideas. Is there any sort of moral qualms about celebrating the great man? Because he did actually pilfer a lot of people's ideas.
So I think that's more of a misconception, okay?
Oh, really?
So
you're
going to
defend the man.
Yes, I'm definitely going to defend the man.
Well,
yeah.
You work for Edison.
So you got to think about this and kind of think about today in life and things that have come about. Out of all of Edison's patents that he has, I mean, he has 1,093. This is more U.S. patents than anyone still today. And so you think about all these 1,093 incandescent light bulb and the rechargeable battery, movies. I mean, other people had all worked on that before, but it's really true invention. The only invention that he really came up with was really the phonograph.
Yeah.
Nobody had ever recorded voices before. So you got to look at Mr. Edison not so much as this great inventor, but as a great innovator.
Yeah.
So that's really what he is. So not so much of that whole thing of that he's stealing ideas. He's taking those ideas, things that people had worked on before, and really creating a market for these things that were never out there before, and making it more affordable for people. So
that's a little like Steve Jobs going to the Xerox lab and stealing GUI, and then also other things.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of people kind of looked at Steve Jobs when he passed away and looking at him paralleling Edison's life the same way. These guys really were true innovators. And I say this a lot on some of my tours. These guys are coming up with things that you didn't know you needed until suddenly you got it in your hand and you wonder, how in the world did I live with this before without it? So think about Edison's times, phonograph, movies, incandescent light bulbs. Skip ahead to Steve Jobs and think about, I got the iPhone here. I mean, just think about that. I mean, people are wondering, how did we live our lives without these things before these men And these great innovators came up with these things.
So what do you think it takes? Because they have to sell this to the masses, both Edison and Jobs. I mean, you know, it seems to me like it's more marketing as well as coming up with a great idea that people really didn't know they needed.
Right, right. And so marketing is a big part of that. I mean, he's got his own separate section here on marketing itself. And, you know, one of the things that he really loses out on is in the whole phonograph business because of the way he markets it, because of the way he records in these hills and valleys, as opposed to the way Victor was recording in this lateral type motion. And he holds this process very close at heart and doesn't let anybody else record in this format. And because of that, he really loses out, because the Victor company allows other companies like Brunswick and Columbia to record in that lateral motion, and he ends up losing out in the whole phonograph business.
Why do you think he was so wrong about electricity, because AC versus DC, and that was a huge mistake.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So you kind of look at that, you know, and of course you got that battle of the currents between him and Tesla and what goes on, and you know, Tesla ends up going to work for Westinghouse, and of course, you know, the rest is kind of history from there. But I think he was so set on that idea, thinking that, you know, DC power was the way to go. There was no way you were going to change his mind from that. No matter what Tesla said, no matter what Westinghouse said, this was the way he was moving. And so, yeah, you definitely see how things definitely transpire. You know, we all have AC power now. And I think you see the shortcomings of DC. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's kind of hard to explain. You know, Edison, I think, and his idea on that, I think he was just stuck on this, and there was no way you were going to change his mind on it.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks, Carmen. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Fantastic.